My Mac Podcast number 166. We're in San Francisco. It's day three of the Macworld Expo. I'm Tim Robertson. Here we go.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast.
And we're sitting in the media room, and it's San Francisco. It's Thursday. We've got one day to go. Right now, it's just Jim. Can you believe I did that? Can you tell it's been a long week? John Nemo and me. I'm Tim Robertson, and just the two of us. I don't think we've ever just sat down, you and me, and did a podcast before,
John. We've never sat together ever. We've always been going in two different directions at 90 miles an hour.
It's crazy. You would think that at this point, at least on the regular podcast, we would have done something together, but... We haven't, and here we are. Finally, we get to sit down and do a podcast, just the two of us.
I was involved in the prototype podcast. You and Chad and I had a conversation.
That's right.
And that became the MyMac.com podcast.
Absolutely.
It feels like about 20 years ago.
I think it was 20 years ago, absolutely. So, John, I don't know about you, but my feet are killing me.
And my shoes are off.
Yeah. Oh, are they? That's what that smell is. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought somebody left some sushi out, but now that I know it's... I don't even know where to begin. What do you think was the coolest thing you saw today?
The coolest thing I saw today, he's thinking, is the Kensington booth.
That was nice. I saw that myself.
The Kensington booth is amazing because they've taken products that normally exist. You can buy them from lots of different companies.
Yep.
And they're not just finding a solution to audio or mousing or whatever. They're actually coming up with a new class of product using an existing form factor that's going to feel really comfortable to users at a fair price with very sexy design.
I think I need to go back over there and take a look at it some more.
Yes, and I think you should get the media briefing because
definitely
there were two young men who did the briefing and they made me feel like I was the most important person at
did
the
they?
Expo.
That's nice.
And they're like, I was the only person they were talking to all year. And they must have done it 500 times each.
We did the the Apple quiz, of course, from the ProSoft Engineering booth today. And once again, thank you, ProSoft Engineering, for sponsoring our trip this year. And we had the manager, the main guy in charge for the MacBook Air, come over and take the quiz.
Really?
Yeah, he did fail miserably. He did horrible.
Then there was that little guy who was about 3 feet tall.
Yeah, and he went through. He was like 9-1, and he won it.
And
so
Guy, or you said, who are you in real life?
Yeah, and he was like a ringer.
He's a tech support guy.
He knew his Apple quiz, Apple quiz trivia. I tell you, it was great. That's really fun to do. We're going to do that one more time. By the time anybody listens to this podcast, it's probably going to be too late to join us. But we'll put some of this on the show that you'll get Saturday morning. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of stuff to discuss next week.
But what do you feel, from a value for money point of view, what do you think we've given ProSoft for the money that they've paid to
support
us?
I don't think we can answer that. I think that's for them to answer.
Because they said they were pleased. I didn't ask them to quantify it.
Right. I don't think they're going to see an immediate benefit at the show. I think that the benefit that they're going to get is from us talking about it so much on the podcast. That's where they're going to get the benefit.
And reviewing their products going on into OA.
Well, the sponsorship has nothing to do with how we review their products.
That's
true.
You're right.
If the new Drive Genius is a horrible product,
we
will say so. Sponsorship be damned. I don't care.
Are we going to give them any banner ads or any visual support following?
Probably. Probably. We really didn't talk about it. So we'll have to see how that works.
Okie dokie.
It's been fun going to their booth, talking to them, making friends with the guys over there. And they're just as tired as we are. So have you been following some of the stuff that we've got posted up on our website, John?
I was keeping up until this morning. What happened was I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning, and I saw that there wasn't anything new, so I attempted to go back to sleep. And
you were up.
I was up. And then I went, and then today there's been a steady stream of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. We finally got the videos posted. We only got two videos this year. We pretty much abandoned our whole, we're going to have videos every single day. And the reasoning is the bandwidth in the hotel is just so bad that it's taking way too long to do anything. So we said, okay, you know what? We're just going to forget about the videos. We're going to concentrate on the podcasting, the pictures, and the articles.
Well, if it's any consolation prize, when I was having lunch today in the speaker's chamber, which is like the inner sanctum of the upper echelon of the people who are actually the presenters at Macworld Expo, they're all staying at high-priced, top-dollar hotels. They say they're lucky if you get $300K.
Yeah.
They said it's like worse, you know, it's like terrible. Everybody
nowadays has wireless laptops,
mm-hmm.
and they're all sharing the same connection. The Macworld Expo closes down at 6 o'clock for the day. Everybody's going to their hotel room, logging in, and it's everybody's sharing the same bandwidth, and it's not good. But what are you going to do?
Well, those are the kind of problems you like to have.
We like to have those, absolutely. So we did get the MyMac Podcast 165 posted yesterday.
Okay.
Hope everyone enjoyed that. I know you haven't listened to it yet,
no.
John. We did, I think it was a pretty good interview with EA FileMaker talking about Bento, the new consumer-level database program.
These were live interviews at the booth?
At the booth. It was
not
fun.
Not any controlled studio environment.
There was this music wizard company where you plug a USB MIDI type of keyboard into your computer. And it's for kids, and
mm-hmm.
it teaches them how to play the piano, or so they say. You know, I didn't really try it myself.
I wonder how similar it is to the one that I've been reviewing for years from eMedia.
No,
music.
Because that's a teaching program.
Yeah.
This is I'm playing a game type of guitar.
Oh.
You know the Guitar Hero game?
Yes.
It's kind of like that, but for a piano.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts at, you know, you have the beginning level, and by the time you're done, rather than just following the colors on the screen, you're actually reading notes. So it's interesting.
Sounds great.
I think we're going to have to get back in touch with them. I'll probably turn them over to you at this point.
I am a music teacher in real life, among other things.
This might be something that we want to share with our audience, do a review of, that sort of thing. You know, the biggest thing that we talked to Microsoft, and I want to sit down with Owen Rubin and record another podcast with him, so he and I and Guy and Larry can go over what we talked about with Microsoft. But the most surprising thing was a surprise visit that we paid to AOL.
Oh, you went to the AOL thing.
Well, it was right across the street from Microsoft, and when we let out for Microsoft, they were right there. They weren't busy. We just kind of went in and were chit-chatting with them.
Yeah.
They're actually coming out with a brand new client for the Macintosh.
How do they expect anybody to even consider using it?
Well, it's not going to be a paid service. It's not going to be ad-generated.
No, but why? I mean,
why? That was my question.
Why and how and when and, you know.
They are super They're psyched. They're telling me, and whether this is true or just marketing speak, they're telling me that they really want to go back to what AOL used to be.
The community aspect.
The community aspect, and bring that back. A sense of fun. So we'll see. You know, anything's possible. And if they came back, if AOL came back and became popular as a social networking type of site, I would say that they would be the comeback of the decade.
Well, I am still an AOL user. I've had my AZ John Nemo AOL account since I was user number 700,001. They got up to 35 million.
Yeah.
So I was in the first, my math skills have just croaked. But I was in the low percentage point.
Yeah, so was I.
And
I had DS9, DS9.
Right. And I still need to use AOL from time to time because I don't have a .Mac account.
Yep.
I use it for my AIM iChat account. And yesterday morning at 6 o'clock when you and I were doing AIM iChat, I was actually logged into AOL because where I'm staying, for some reason, this doesn't make sense. It cuts me off from iChat, but I can use AOL chat.
That's weird.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I was staying there. Anyway, the point is, so AOL has not cash value, but it has communications.
Absolutely.
No content.
Absolutely.
It has communications.
And
value.
I wish them the best. Let's be honest. If I don't have anything negative to say about AOL,
no,
as far as
a lot
company
of people
goes.
Do.
No, I mean as far as a company themselves.
Oh,
so
okay.
I wish them the best. As,
yeah.
You know. The other things that we got posted up on the feature side anyways, we did two videos. One of them is a hands-on with the MacBook Air, and the hands are actually Owen Rubin. He was playing with it, and I filmed it. The sound was horrible.
Oh, so you just stripped out the sound.
And I just stripped out the sound. I figured people really didn't care about hearing all the loud noises in the background, and so it's just picking it up. You'll see Owen clicking and pinching and doing all that stuff that everyone's curious about
the
MacBook Air. I think it's interesting.
Okay.
I haven't really spent a whole lot of time thinking about it. That's probably going to be for next week's show when I'm back home and
yes.
I've digested it and I've watched the keynote again and
mm-hmm.
I've gone through all the specs without all the interruption of 1,000 other companies vying for my attention right now. And I'll make up my mind whether it's something that I'm interested in or not.
Our new video helper, Jim Dicker, who has joined our staff, from Wisconsin live using a professional...
Nice guy, by the way.
Thank you.
I really liked him.
Professional quality HD video. We've been doing real honest-to-goodness video, sort of like you'd see from a network.
Right.
Where he's actually been filming me, and he's got many, many hours of this stuff. And so
can't
what
wait.
We're going to be doing is we're going to be parceling it out.
Yep, he's over the next month or so.
Because, I mean, this is stuff that's going to be around for years,
right.
The companies hope. And so we'll just trickle it out in a way that doesn't feel like it's news from, you know, the before Columbus.
The other video that we got posted right now is kind of a funny video. I don't know if you know
anything. Funny as in humorous?
I don't think you know anything about this.
Okay, then don't tell me. Okay, I'll have to see it myself.
Basically, it was Tuesday morning, the day the expo actually started, and I just grabbed my camera in the morning, right out of the shower. I look like crap, and that's the video. It's about 8 minutes, but it gets humorous.
Okay,
it gets
fine.
Humorous.
I know about your sense of humor, so
yeah.
There's humor and there's humor.
We've got a lot of blog posting. Bakari's been sending up some pictures and his opinions and what he saw and all that kind of thing. That was great. A reader actually sent in a little video called the MacBook Paper video. That's funny. You got to watch that.
Okay.
I embedded it right on the site, so it's easy to see. The Agony of Defeat, Larry Grinnell's
yes.
blog. That was
Larry
interesting.
Is such an asset to our team.
And there's a lot of stuff up on the blog site, and it's probably going to be a lot more by the time everyone reads this.
And I've got more pictures to post. That's
cool.
What I was planning on doing.
The rest of the podcast, what are you going to listen to from you? I have Guy's not here. Guy went off without me today with the podcast recording, so I didn't do any podcast recording today.
Oh, good.
And other than with JBL.
Yes.
So I don't know what Guy has.
But are you going to go to that concert?
I'm
going to
go to, and that's here in about 15 minutes. So
I would recommend.
To wrap it up
I would
soon.
Recommend you go there now. Save a seat. Save seats. You can save seats there, Bill. And
hi, Bill Palmer. Iprong.
Hey guys, how you doing?
And we
good.
Thank you again for joining us on the pre-expo podcast. And we're always great to have Bill Palmer with us on the right side at MyMac.com.
My pleasure. I'll see you guys up at the Shaw Blades concert. Okay.
Shaw Blades. So we're going to head over to that. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to stay because I've got a 6 o'clock.
I went to the concert last night. It runs to almost 6:30.
Ooh, I'm not going to be able to stay for
that
whole
no,
thing.
No, believe me, the first four songs are the best.
Okay.
But they're very good. They're professional, and I'm
well,
overjoyed.
We've got the podcast meetup that I'm supposed to, the
yes.
Mac podcasters meet.
Yes, do you want to go to another
go to.
Party also?
No, I got the things for that, too. I don't
okay.
want to go to that. And Brian Chafin, the publisher of... Mac Observer. He found me over in the West Hall. He said, "Hey, Tim." And he asked me what I was doing tonight, later tonight.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, nothing." And he gave me a personal invite over to his concert.
Oh.
And that's at 9 p.m. tonight. But his band won't actually go on like till 10:30, 11.
I will hopefully have been asleep for about four hours.
And I probably will be too. But I would really, I wish I wasn't so tired today because I'd really like to go see Brian play. This is his band. This isn't the Mac
right.
getting together. This is his band playing. I'm kind of interested in checking that out.
Well, let's figure tomorrow's going to be a busy day.
Absolutely. We need to get together tomorrow to record at least one more podcast before...
That's fine.
Because I'm out of San Francisco early the next day.
Yeah, but tomorrow's a busy day, and I just want to alert our listeners, readers, and viewers, we do have an exclusive 9-minute interview with David Pogue that I conducted today at lunchtime. David took me out to lunch, and I took him out to lunch. You can
awesome.
Call it any way you want. And that's something that I hope everybody listens to in addition to three or four...
How long is that?
9 minutes.
9-minute interview
mm-hmm.
with David Pogue? That's
yes.
going to be great. I'm looking forward... I haven't heard it myself.
Nobody's heard it.
I'm looking forward to listening... Well, you've heard it. You were there.
That's true.
And David heard it, probably, I'm sure.
Let's hope so. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.
We'll have show 167 posted by Saturday morning.
Great.
I'll be on an airplane. And we'll see you later.
Good. Have fun at the concert, Tim.
Thanks.
Good afternoon, David Pogue.
Good afternoon, John.
Welcome to the MyMac.com podcast. We're delighted to have you here.
Thank you.
We are sitting in the speakers booth, the speakers lounge at MacWorld Expo. And it's Thursday, the 17th of January, 2008. And when my colleagues at MyMac.com heard that I was going to be meeting you for lunch, they sent me a lot of questions. And we'll try to go through them fairly quickly. You can give us the short answer if you want.
All right.
I know you've talked this morning and you got to talk this afternoon. So you can just sort of make us acquainted with your views on this topic.
All right.
But every Thursday morning when a million people wake up and the first thing on their mind, they can't wait to read your comments and circuits and to listen to your broadcasts and your videos. What's it like knowing on Thursday
that you're the guy for a million or more people.
Well, I don't know if it's that many, but I like that there are fans. And you know, I was the third child of three, and I was the ignored one, and I've basically spent the rest of my career trying to get the attention I never got as a kid. So that's my own self-analysis. But I, as you know, spent 10 years trying to do the Broadway thing, and didn't reach audiences that way. So this is my way of being on stage after all these years.
If you were a food item, you'd definitely be a ham, but not a can. Does David Pogue think, as a journalist, that Apple's approach to their product announcements, with the secrecy, rumors, and sometimes subsequent disappointment, overall helps or hinders them as a company?
You're asking me in the third person?
Yes.
Well, David Pogue thinks that it's a fantastically successful strategy, as has been shown year after year. Every headline in America is about whatever Apple announced at the show. So
it's working. Don't mess with it.
Clearly, it works like gangbusters. And it's fun to see the other companies sort of ham-handedly try it, you know, and Microsoft tries to keep something a secret.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
What's your take on Apple charging for the iPod Touch software upgrade?
You know, I don't get it. I just don't get it. It seems so weird. Why $20? Why that one and not the iPhone? Baffling to me. I think it should be free.
Okay. What does Apple bring to the non-computer consumer market that other companies, such as Dell and the unfortunate Gateway, either didn't, can't, won't, or wouldn't?
Well, it's all the usual Apple things. It's style, it's elegance, it's simplicity, it's sweating the details. You know, you looked at Dell's music players, you know.
I looked at them.
Yeah, God, and then you want to look the other way. You know, they just do not value design. Apple may value design too much, but these other companies don't value it nearly enough.
Fair enough. How do you feel about e-books? Does David Pogue feel that Apple will create a dedicated e-book reader or add that ability to another existing product line?
No. In fact, I know that they will not, because we asked that question of Jobs. John Markoff of the New York Times and I went to interview him right after the keynote, and he said that, that people don't read anymore. 40% of Americans read a book in the last year, and one book. It's just like the numbers are horrible. So in general, people do not read anymore, so that is not something that Apple will pursue.
Well, I have done my own statistics on this, and I have determined that in a typical American person's lifetime, they will read fewer books than you have written.
I think that's quite likely. I myself have read fewer books than I have written.
Most of your books are available electronically. This ties in with the thing about the e-book. On Safari Tech Books online or by O'Reilly, and we want to tease an answer from you as far as the segue in or out of the e-books. I think we're just going to pass on that one. But do you have any comment on the way that O'Reilly and other pre-existing publishers are handling the digital distribution of book content?
A lot of people ask if they can have a PDF copy of my books. They say, I bought your book, I want the PDF copy. Twice in my life, two or three times maybe, I have granted the request of somebody who billed themselves as blind, and I have sent them the PDF copy of one of my books. Two out of two times, those wound up all over the internet within 48
hours.
Forget
it.
Free download David Pogue's book.
Forget it.
So I find myself in the awful position of being like the music companies. You know, I hate the idea of copy protection, but I also hate the people distributing my books for free. You know,
okay.
I've got children, so I don't know what the answer is for them, and I don't know what the answer is for me, but every time I condemn copy protection, I'm like, but wait a minute, you don't like people copying your stuff either. So
this is a work in progress.
It's a very difficult decision. So what O'Reilly does is they have this website where all of O'Reilly's books and a number of other computer book publishers have this thing called Safari.
By subscription.
Right, it's safari.net. It's not safari.com. Anyway.
No, we can link to that.
You can find it. Where for a monthly fee, you get electronic access to all the books from all the companies.
It's sort of like lynda.com for training.
Right, exactly.
Safari, whatever.
That's
very good. Okay, now in your career as a television impresario, is there going to be a sequel to your astonishingly informative and entertaining It's All Geek to Me? And is there any way to view those previous episodes online or on DVD or Netflix or anything.
It's a sad story. You know, I worked so hard on that series.
You busted your chops on that.
Yeah, I did. It took a week for each episode. So 6 weeks of my life, I basically moved out of home and lived in Brooklyn where they shot it. And there was only six episodes, and it was not renewed. It's extremely popular among people who saw it, which is great, but Discovery did not do any promotion at all. There's not one single ad, promo, teaser, nothing. So, and also they put it, you know, at... Yes. On a ridiculous channel. They put it on the Science Channel, which is...
No one could even find it, even if they owned it.
Right, exactly. And the Science Channel audience is a very specific type. They're not... They wouldn't get it. And so then they tried it on Discovery HD, where I understand it did much better, and then they reran it this fall, and so I don't know what's going on. But anyway, they haven't renewed it, and it's fine with me because I'm now doing this thing with CNBC.
Yes.
Every Thursday at 11:30 in the morning.
I saw that one where you're standing out in the cold, shivering
yeah.
outside the Moscone Center.
That's right. That's right. And that's a dream come true. I mean, where Discovery treated me like a non-entity and just, you know, horribly non-responsive and terrible, CNBC treats me like royalty, and we all just love working with each
that's
other.
True.
So. I wish there were a way to get It's All Geek to me. There is no DVD. I mean, I have a DVD
yeah.
set, but there's no way to order them. And there
are... Who owns the rights to this?
Discovery. And
okay.
there are two episodes online of the six, so you can view them in segments online at discovery.com/geek.
Good.
But that's pretty much it.
Is it the one with the digital pictures where you do that comparison?
I don't remember which two they
okay,
are.
Okay, because that's still great. Okay, our last question, because we promised 5 minutes or less, and we're already up to past seven. You've got to have lunch and go talk. Does David Pogue wake up in the middle of the night and write down your humorous zingers, or do they come to you during the creative writing process as a flash of humorous genius, such as this morning, no less, descended from a spatula, and mistake your laptop for a placemat when you're referring to the new hot air computer?
Well, that's an interesting question. No one's ever asked that before. Usually, I mean, in the Times column, it usually comes as I'm writing it. And actually, when I saw the air sitting on, during this interview with Steve Jobs, his laptop was sitting on a coffee table in the interview room, and it looked like a placemat. I mean, it just that was my first thought. So that came then. But it is true that sometimes as I'm falling asleep, I'll think of an analogy or a joke or an approach to the next thing I'm doing, and I usually don't write it down, but I'll remember
that's
it.
I'd like to end with a personal tribute. 14 years ago, I was a new Mac user. I picked up a copy at the library of a book called Secrets by Pogue and Shore. I had a question I wrote to one of the authors, and I've been a pen pal, email buddy, and in-person colleague of David Pogue ever since.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, 14 years ago, I was just figuring that out.
Incredible.
Yes.
Wow, what a story.
So thank you for your personal support, for your support of MyMac.com, and you know what we think of you, your books, and all of your work, David.
Well, you obviously have excellent taste.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate
thank you.
It.
I'm here at the ProSoft JoeSoft engineering booth. We're giving away copies of Stocks, their software for managing your stocks and bonds. And I'm here with Steve from Oregon, and he's going to take part in the Apple Knowledge Trivia Quiz. Steve, your first question. What was Apple's first computer with a GUI name?
Lisa.
You guys ever had anyone? Not working?
There we go. The Apple Lisa, you're absolutely correct. That's one question. Next question. What date, month, day, and year did Apple first incorporate?
January 1st, 1976.
Whoa. January 1st, 1976. Ooh.
April 1st.
April 1st.
I was
you
such
got
a
the
fool.
Year right. You
yeah.
did. Yeah. You did get the year right. Most people get the year wrong.
Yeah.
Besides Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, who was the third founding member of Apple Computers Incorporated?
Was it Mike Markola?
Are you sure? Is that your final answer?
Sure.
Ronald Wayne.
Never even
came
heard of him.
Came and went very, very quickly.
Yeah, he got his like $300 investment back within a few weeks.
And that was good.
Done.
Next question. What was the name of the store that was the first to order the Apple computer?
Palo Alto on El Camino Real.
There's a magazine.
There's a magazine with a similar name.
The
Apple logo.
Name for the little logo.
Apple Bite? I don't know.
Close.
Narrow it down.
Bite?
The Bite Shop.
With massive hints, you're at 3-0.
And it's changed a little
bit.
It's now called the Bite Me Shop.
Yeah.
What computer did Apple release on April 19th, 1977?
Go with your very first instinct.
Apple II?
Exactly right, the Apple II. Next question. What was the name of the first killer app created for the Apple II?
Was it VisiCalc?
Exactly right. Very, yes. You're at 5-0.
No, he missed 5-1.
Incorporated. What was the name of the commercial that Apple first ran during the Super Bowl to introduce the Macintosh?
1984.
Exactly right. You're doing pretty good. You're at 6-1.
Next question.
Who was the director of that commercial?
Ridley Scott.
7-1. You are flying through this.
A lot of people
we've
know that,
fly
I didn't know
fast.
That at all. I had no idea.
What was the name of the digital camera that Apple sold in 1994?
Answer quickly. Quick.
Don't take too much time.
It was the Quick Take 100. Okay, you're at 7-2. 7-2. Next question. Besides Apple, which other two companies did Apple partner with in 1994
if you get this wrong,
to create
please.
The PowerPC reference platform of computing?
IBM and Motorola.
8-1. Two more questions.
Weren't you on that team?
No,
you weren't.
Apple's first effort to replace the aging Mac OS with a next generation OS went by what internal product name?
Rhapsody.
OS 9.
First to replace the aging Mac OS?
Yep. OS 9.
What was
its internal name?
When OS 9 was going to be the next gen OS.
Copeland?
I find it a little...
9-1.
I find that answer a little misleading because it was really the interface, not the...
In 1995, Apple tried to break into the video game systems market with what product?
Pippin.
Exactly right.
That?
He won.
I did briefly.
Did you?
Thanks, right. Steve. Appreciate it.
Okay, we are recording. We are in the speaker's room at Moscone Center West with Mikkel Olin, who is one of our favorite writers. Nice to see you again, Mikkel.
John, it's so great to see you. Thank you.
And what were you just about to tell us?
Oh, boy, this is raw. This is coming out of my mind raw.
Okay, just like your new book, which is called...
Right, raw. But this is something that happened. I was teaching a two-day workshop. Yesterday and the day before. And yesterday afternoon, my students, we finally got to the point where people were actually creating their, working with their images.
Mm-hmm.
And I compiled all the pictures people had had done, and we put it together and made a slideshow that we all looked at. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I just went, oh my gosh, this is what it's all about. The images. I had been talking about technology for a day and a half, and getting into, you know, the pixel-level detail.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, we go into black holes or we go down
right.
holes in technology. And every now and then you get these moments when you're pulled back up and you see the light. And watching my students' pictures yesterday flash up on this huge monitor, and I just went, oh, my gosh, these are good photographs. And I was really moved by it. And I wanted to express that because as I was walking here, I'm giving some other talks this afternoon where I'm going to go into the kind of the nuts and bolts of using. I'll be at the O'Reilly booth this afternoon. And then, you know, I'll be at the Apple store this afternoon and blah, blah, blah. You know, we're doing this kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
especially with a new book out. But you know what, John, at the end of the day,
yeah.
I love the images. I love the photography.
That's
I don't
great.
Want to forget that.
That's fantastic. Now, the publisher of your new book is?
Well, I'm working with O'Reilly again, who I'm very pleased with. They did mm-hmm. the Photoshop Lightroom Adventure book,
mm-hmm.
Which came out in the fall. And now we've updated the CS3 RAW book,
right.
which is now talking about another workflow option. Lightroom, of course, is one RAW option that you can take, a path you can go down. It's an application that you mm-hmm. need to buy separately. A lot of people already have Photoshop CS3.
That's the big question. How much do people really need to get Aperture or Lightroom if they're using CS3?
It's a great question. It's a brilliant question.
That's
and
the thing that
and that's the
most
reason
people.
It's the reason I updated the CS2 book.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm a big fan of Lightroom, I don't know Aperture well, but everybody speaks very fondly of it.
Yes.
I'm you know, I won't say anything other than that.
No, it's a fine
it's a
program.
Very fine program, and Lightroom's a great program. I know that. But if you have CS3, you already have kind of a built-in workflow that works very well with your raw images. You have Bridge, which is certainly improved with CS3,
oh,
big-time improved.
It's groovy.
And then you have Camera Raw, which just continues to get better and better and better. And then you also have the old venerable Photoshop. So between those three apps,
you're done.
You have an off-road vehicle that will take you anywhere you want to go. I want to just add something mm-hmm. here, John, that it's an off-road vehicle. It doesn't have that same sleek, sexy look that
picture.
Lightroom does
but
or
if,
Aperture
but if
has.
If it's about images and if it's about pictures and if it's about workflow.
Well, at the end of the day, with the CS3 workflow, you're going to make a great image.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that. However, if you're working with lots of images, I mean hundreds of images.
No, I'm not talking about, no.
Yeah, but if you are, then when you look at the Aperture and you look at the Photoshop Lightroom workflow solution,
yes.
I'm afraid that
no,
it's hard to beat
that. But
for
individual batches of pictures?
Yeah, no question. Absolutely no question. You're going to get there with CS3 and you're going to get there in good form.
And our closing question for today, which is usually my opening question, is RAW is still intimidating to most people.
Do you really think that? I have to be careful because I'm down that hole.
RAW, serious photographers and professionals and gearheads and are used to using RAW by now. For most amateur and serious photographers, RAW is still intimidating. Mm-hmm. And what is the best way to get your toe in the water with RAW? Using Elements? Can you use RAW with Elements?
Absolutely. And even iPhoto
RAW
now.
So you can become comfortable with RAW, with the flexibility of non-destructive sort of universal edits.
Good.
Without having to do anything other than use the software you already have.
The other thing is, look at it as like an insurance policy. A lot of these cameras now will do RAW plus JPEG,
mm-hmm.
okay? And memory is so cheap, so it's not a matter of memory.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these cameras process it really fast. So when you get a RAW and a JPEG, work with your JPEG if you're not comfortable
yeah.
with RAW, but just know as an insurance
it's
policy,
there.
It's in the bank.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very good. And we have been talking to Mikkel Olin. He is a speaker here at the Macworld Expo. He's an author, and his new book, once again, is called?
Photoshop CS3 RAW.
And let's spell your name, since the pronunciation doesn't do it justice.
Thank you for pronouncing it right, John, but it's M-I-K-K-E-L, and then the last name is what throws everybody off. It's A-A-L-A-N-D.
So two K's and two A's, and if you know where to put them, you'll find them. Great talking
Thank
with you.
Thank you, John.
Hi, Guy Searle with MyMac.com, and we're back here at the ProSoft JoeSoft booth. Giving away a copy of Stocks if you're able to pass the Apple Knowledge Quiz. I'm here today. I'm with Matt from Los Angeles. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay, you think you can do it?
I think I can.
All right. Well, we're going to find out in just a minute. If you win, you're going to get a copy of Stocks from JoeSoft Software for research, tracking, and analysis.
Great.
So let's go ahead and get right into it. The Apple Knowledge Quiz.
On that computer.
Or maybe.
Come on, you can do it, Guy.
It's not, actually. It actually works out better.
Okay, you know the way it works? You've got to answer 10 questions. If you get 3 wrong, you're out. You don't win anything. We'll do the best we can. Here we go. Okay, your first question. What year was the first iBook introduced?
1999.
Are you sure?
Oh, he's
really
confident about
that. Yeah, boy, he might breeze right through this. Okay, let's find out. 1999, okay, you're 1-0. Gonna move on to the next question. What two colors did the first iBook come in?
Tangerine.
Uh huh.
And I don't know if it was called Aqua or Bondi. I think it was Bondi.
But basically a bluish color.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll accept that. Let's see what happens here. Blueberry and tangerine,
blueberry.
I'm going to give it to you.
Thank
That's
you.
two out of two. You're 2-0. Okay, what was Apple's first computer with a GUI named?
Lisa.
The Lisa. You're absolutely correct. You are 3-0. You are flying through these questions. Next question. What date, month, day, and year did Apple incorporate?
April 1st, 1976 or seven. I mean,
okay, you got to be more.
I know.
Is it
I
what,
know.
Your first, what was the year?
Go with your first.
1976.
Okay, April 1st, 1976. And you're absolutely, you know, he is the first person that has, oh, we did. Okay, I thought you were the first one to get that.
Everybody gets every year off.
Okay, next question. He said 4-0.
4-0. We've never had to go 10-0, never.
Never.
And I don't think it's going to happen.
Besides Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, who is
Mike Markula.
Mike Markula. No, Ronald Wayne.
Wait, could you go to the question again? Because I think you might.
Okay, well, you didn't let me finish the question. Who was the third founding member?
You guys should check that.
I did check it.
Okay.
It sold out after about a month and a half.
Okay.
Okay.
You're thinking of the first president of the company who was brought in to help run the company, but he wasn't a founding member.
Okay, well, you're still doing great. You're at 4-1. Next question. What was the name of the store that was the first to order the Apple computer?
The Bite Shop.
The Bite Shop. You are absolutely correct. The Bite Shop. And obviously, it's not quite the same as it was back then. 5-1. He's doing great. What computer did Apple release on April 19th, 1977?
The Apple II.
The Apple II. Let's find out. You're absolutely
6-1. 6-1. He's on a roll.
Man, I don't know.
It starts getting a little harder, though.
Okay, well, we'll find out. This guy seems to know his stuff. What was the name of the first killer app created for the Apple II?
VisiCalc.
VisiCalc. That's your final answer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did it get the badge?
Absolutely correct. 6-1. 6-1.
6-1.
What was the name of the commercial that Apple ran during the Super Bowl to first introduce the Macintosh?
You said they were getting harder? 1984.
Oh, he's cocky. He's cocky. You're absolutely right. Okay, you are 7-1.
7-1.
Who was the director of that commercial?
Ridley Scott.
Are you absolutely positive?
Oh, man.
Okay, really, 8-1. Unbelievable. Okay. What was the name of the digital camera that Apple sold in 1994?
The QuickTake or the QuickTake 100.
Ooh.
Now, he's the first one that actually got the 100.
You got the whole name right.
Nobody else has got the QuickTake 100. Everyone has said QuickTake. Although we had one guy say, it's QuickTime.
You know, getting the 100, I'd wipe out the one he got wrong.
Okay, you're at 9-1. This could be your final question before you win stocks from ProSoft and JoeSoft. Last question. Besides Apple, which other two companies did Apple partner with in 1994 to create the PowerPC reference platform of computers?
IBM and Motorola.
IBM and Motorola. IBM and Motorola. He wins.
Thanks a lot.
Let's get a picture of this. Let's get a picture.
Hi, Guy Searle with the MyMac.com podcast. I'm here with Clay from Blue Microphones, and I actually blogged about this product on the site. If you go over to MyMac.com, you can see it. And it's called the Snowflake, and this is kind of almost like a companion piece to the original Snowball. What can you tell me about the Snowflake?
Well, the Snowflake is very similar to our Snowball in the fact that in the cardioid position, the Snowball and the Snowflake are the same microphone, essentially, except the Snowflake is much more travel-friendly. The microphone itself actually will come apart, and you can perch it right on the screen of your laptop.
And what kind of frequency response does it have?
It will actually pick up from 35 hertz all the way up to 20 kilohertz.
That's great. Who do you feel would be the primary user of a product like this?
There's actually lots of uses. It's very popular, obviously, among podcasters.
I would agree.
And also, another thing that is very popular is the voice over internet protocols, such as Skype and iChat and stuff like that. And this is a little bit more suited for someone who is always on the go and doesn't necessarily always have a desktop that they can set a microphone on to do whatever they're going to do.
where would we find more information about this product?
You will find more information about this product at www.bluemic.com.
At bluemic.com. Right. What exactly, now, this has this been released already?
It hasn't started shipping, but it's been released, if you want to, technically it's been released.
What is the price?
The price is $59.99.
That's a pretty good price for a microphone, especially if it records as well as the Snowball.
Yes. Like I said, it's the same capsule element within both microphones.
So, anyone, if you're interested in finding out more about the Snowflake, you want to go to www.bluemic.com.
Good afternoon. It's John Nima from the MyMac.com podcast. I'm here with Cindy from Mac Ally on Thursday afternoon at the showroom floor at the Macworld Expo 2008. Cindy, what is this kind of pipsqueak, shrinky-dink keyboard here? What is that?
Well, John, this is our BT Key Mini. It's a Bluetooth keyboard, ideal for iPhone or any PDA device that's Bluetooth equipped.
So it's a Bluetooth keyboard.
Absolutely. Bluetooth keyboard that will allow users to respond to email and just basically input text in a more comfortable, natural keyboard way.
And is it specific to the iPhone?
Actually, we did design it to work specifically for iPhone, but it doesn't mean that it won't work for any other device.
It would work
device.
With any
Absolutely.
Other device.
Absolutely, yes.
So if I have an iPhone, mm-hmm. I stick it the iPhone
right,
in the upper part,
right,
and that sort of serves as the back plate, which is just thin plastic, serves as a support, mm-hmm. and then it goes right into the dock.
Yes, right. Actually, no dock because
it's Bluetooth. Oh, it's Bluetooth.
Right?
Oh, it just sits there.
It just sits there.
So this could have been anything.
Right. That's just a little indentation there. And this also serves as a cover. So when you're ready to travel, it closes.
See what I mean about this company? I mean, they really do something different. So you close, open it up.
Open it up.
Be anywhere.
Absolutely.
So that could be in my pocket.
Sure.
You could be typing away.
Typing away on the train, on the bus. Yeah, absolutely. Very easy, very nice.
Is there any latency?
No, not at all. Once you sync up, you're ready to go.
So since it's Bluetooth, does it only work, is it only made to work with the iPhone? Could it work with a regular laptop or something?
Yeah, any
So you could text message on your Razer phone from that thing.
You got it.
So it has no power. Beg your pardon.
It is powered off of AA batteries.
I see.
And it works for your typical AA battery life.
It works forever.
Eight hours or so.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
8 hours of continuous use. So
good.
A full working day.
Let's talk a little bit about Mac Ally here at the Expo.
Mm-hmm.
In your sense of what people are most interested in, mm-hmm. when people come to your booth, what's the single one or two class of products that they're asking about right when they show up?
iPod accessories and input devices. We've gotten a great reputation over the years, and we're very proud of that. We continue making, I think, excellent input devices, innovative, different. In this market, a lot of people have geared towards iPod accessories. Well, we haven't forgotten the system.
Do you sell things right here on the showroom floor?
We don't sell at our booth. We do sell, one of our resellers does, Unitech.
So somebody wants to buy something, they just go right on over there?
Uh-huh. We also provide where to buy in San Francisco sheets. So we give those out as well.
And what was your response or your colleague's response when they saw the 4.5 rating that I gave the BT Cup the other day?
In one word, wow. Thank you. Excellent. We were very proud. We were very happy, very pleased.
Because I had some suggestions, but really no major criticisms. And being able to review that and two competing devices at the same time, it was pretty impressive that humble device came out on top.
We were so pleased. You have no idea. We're very happy. We went ahead and forwarded that to all of our dealers.
Because our
worldwide.
Friends at one of your competitors were not quite as enthused as...
Well, we just try and pump out the best products that we can. We're a group of Mac users for years and years, so we're very excited about our products. We hope the rest of the world is as happy with them as we are.
Good. Well, MyMac.com is delighted to have a healthy relationship with Mac Ally, and we hope to continue. A year ago, you showed us the prototype. What's the name of the one with the flat front that I use?
That is the Tune Pro.
Yes, the Tune Pro.
Yep.
Yes. You showed us the prototype, and it took about 9 months for it to show up, and that thing is wonderful. I wake up and go to sleep to that every day.
Thank you.
I have some suggestions on that, but, that's not in a revision cycle. That's in a new product cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I think, we could talk about that any other time.
Okay.
That's a very wonderful item for the home, and the
Thank
sound
you.
Really is good.
Thank you. We're very proud of that. Many, many great positive feedback, so We love that item, yeah.
Thank you, Cindy, from Mac Ally, and thank you for your support.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we're back with the Apple quiz here at JoSoft ProSoft Engineering, and I'm here with James from Santa Maria, California. You ready to do this, James?
I am ready.
Okay, now you saw the last guy do it, and he
He's
went 10-1. That's going
to
be a very, very tough act to follow. So let's get right on with it. You know how it works. Ten questions. If you miss three, you're out. Okay, your first question is going to be Apple's first effort to replace the aging Mac OS with the next generation OS went by what internal product name?
We're talking, first you're talking about System 7, you're talking about System 8.
Internal name,
I'm understanding, but
aging would be the classic.
Well,
eight
was
OS
Copeland,
10,
but seven.
I believe this was OS 9.
Well, because I'm thinking Copeland was a revamp of the interface.
Okay, is that your answer?
I would say Copeland, but I may be an OS off.
Nope, you are absolutely correct, Copeland.
I had no picture to put with Copeland.
As a cute fat baby with a Sharpay.
This is my dog, Copeland.
Uh-huh. Well, since I know that's a Sharpay, does that give me brownie points?
Okay, next question. In 1995, Apple tried to break into video game systems with what product?
Oh, you would know this one better.
Ding, 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 ding.
Think another ding, Apple or
ding, I've never ding, been a gamer. Ding, that's my problem. Say think
Hobbit.
Ding, 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 ding.
I don't get that.
What's his
ding,
name?
Ding, ding,
oh, the
ding.
Hobbit's name.
It's a different type of Apple.
Shoot. She's the Lord of the Rings person.
What were the name of the three hobbits?
Bilbo Baggins.
I don't think anybody would buy a game system called Bilbo.
Yeah. Right.
I wouldn't buy a game system called Bilbo.
Frodo. No.
And Sam and...
I know.
She's
now that you've said it, I can't...
Okay, final clue. Can we give a better clue?
You can give a better clue. Begins with a P.
She's just gonna storm off. Name an apple that begins with a P.
Pippin!
Yes!
The Pippin. Oh, now I remember the Pippin.
Okay, well, it took us a while to get there. It took us a while to get there, but you're at 2-0 now. Okay, next question.
Yeah, no, yeah, see,
in 1997, this is an easy one, I think.
Next.
What company did Apple buy in an effort to create their next generation OS? And your answer is next. And I have a feeling that you're probably right.
Yeah, that
hey,
one's
you
a
are
gimme.
Right.
That one's a gimme.
Okay, you're at 3-0.
You guys want to take a quiz?
In 1997, how much money did Microsoft invest in Apple Computer non-voting stock?
What was the dollar amount on that? It was like $150 million.
$150 million. Absolutely correct. You're at 4-0.
Oh, and you got the sexy Bill Gates picture to prove it.
Yeah.
Sexy
Billy.
Sexy
Billy.
Picture in existence.
What was the original color
Bondi
of the
blue.
iMac? Bondi blue. Absolutely right. You're at 6-0. 6-0 or 5-0?
6-0.
Who was the CEO of Apple Computer that Steve Jobs replaced?
Think a fish. The guy who made me leave.
That probably threw me off. I keep wanting to say Ballmer. That's Microsoft.
Crap.
I should know this one, too. Because I couldn't stand him.
He used to run Intel.
Rich,
you're still there.
Oh, man.
What are you doing?
See, you put me on the spot. I could probably have told you this when he was walking down and it popped up. Ah. He's saying fish.
So I love looking at the air, but it's in the wrong line.
How does a fish breathe?
Gills. Guillermo.
Yes.
Thank
wow,
you.
Wow, okay. We're at 7-0. You're doing better than the other guy.
Not really. I'm
well, yeah, well,
getting a little
with
bit
hints,
of help.
With hints.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. What company did Apple buy Final Cut Pro from?
Is that the Logic Corporation? No.
And I have two major complaints and I don't want you to know. One is space.
Same people did Logic. It was...
That really needs a replaceable battery.
Yeah. That's your hint.
I can tell that. And
I don't
I'm going to have to... Yeah, take off in that one.
Okay. It was Macromedia.
Macromedia.
Okay, 7-1.
That one I didn't know. So.
Okay, you're at 7-1. You're still doing great. Still doing great. Who now owns Macromedia?
Adobe.
Absolutely correct. Eight and one. Next question. What product did Apple introduce on October 23?
The original iPod.
The original iPod. That's absolutely, you're at 9-1. If you get this next question, you win a copy of Stocks from Josoft Software.
Awesome.
What capacity hard drive space did the first generation of iPods come in?
I believe it was only available in 5 gig.
No, there were two models. So is 5 and 10 your answer?
I know Steve doesn't like the 12.
Either 1 and 5 or 5 and 10. I don't think they ever made a 1. No, it would be 5 and 10.
He won't use it, he won't build it.
Absolutely correct.
They won.
They won!
Hey!
We made it. Took a little bit of a stretch, but thank you very much.
Thank you, James. Appreciate you playing.
Thanks a lot.
Don't stop recording. Just keep going.
Okay.
All right. We got someone.
We got somebody else.
He knows a little bit about Apple.
He does. What's his name?
My name's Rich.
Rich Williams from Apple Incorporated. Now, you claim to know a little bit about Apple.
Just a little.
Just a little.
Yeah. Rich, when did you start Apple?
79.
79.
Okay, well, we're going to find out how much you know with the Apple Knowledge Trivia Quiz.
The first couple is going to be too easy for him, but that's okay.
Okay, your first question is, what was the prices for the first two models of the iPod that was introduced in 2001?
Yes, it was. You can ask phone a friend.
$299 and $399.
$299 and $399. Is that your final answer?
Ooh.
Bum, bum, bum. Okay.
Now I can actually fake this and say that was probably the employee.
That includes the employee discount. You forgot to.
Oh, I forgot about that. Okay.
So we're off to a bad start here.
Okay. Next question. How did the first iPod connect to the Macintosh?
You can help.
Firewire.
Yep, exactly right. 1-1.
Firewire. The answer's okay.
What year was iTunes first released?
Ooh, tough product in the product team group. You never think about that on that side, right?
Just the year.
2004.
2004 is what you're saying. The iTunes was first released.
Bill, how long have you been?
That's probably too late.
Remember when it was happening? I was there for May 7th.
It was a year after the first iPod.
Which was released what year?
Okay, I'm going to say 2002.
2002.
They weren't alive in that
2001.
See? So you work with
okay, one, if you miss one more question,
you're out.
Okay, next question. What version of iTunes was first able to run on a Windows PC?
Paul Resch is kind of a general architect.
All guys on my team at Atari. 2.0.
2.0?
I worked
right close to iTunes 4. Okay, Guy Searle here with MyMac.com, doing a MyMac.com podcast. I'm here with Sean from iFrogs, and iFrogs has got this really amazing little plug-in speaker that works with any iPod. It uses the audio in jack as compared to a lot of the others that it's using the dock connector.
Yep, that's right.
What can you tell me about it?
Well, basically what we have going on here, Guy, is this is a integrated little self-contained speaker packet. We call this the Vibes, and how this works is we have this a little adapter. It'll even work for iPhones, too. And basically, it is an amplified speaker module that's got some absolutely stellar sound.
Yeah, I can attest to that. Yeah. I was trying it yesterday, and I was amazed at the response that you got. Not just the highs, but the lows as well. I mean, you
absolutely
can really feel it rumble.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And considering how small it is, I mean, obviously, this is an audio podcast. You can't see it from here.
Yep.
You know, go to ifrogs.com and check out the Vibes. That's V-I-B-E-Z. And I think you'll be blown away by how small it is. Now, it's also rechargeable, isn't it?
It is. What it is, it has a self-contained battery in it. It does require battery for its amplification purposes.
And what kind of battery is that?
I'm not exactly certain what it is.
Like a little lithium or something?
It is, and it is rechargeable. It comes with a little USB right on the cord.
Right.
And it's very easily rechargeable right off your computer or a wall charger. It only takes about an hour and a half to fully charge the unit right up, and it'll play for a couple of days.
Wow.
When I say play, man, I mean play. Let me go ahead and turn this on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Whoops.
Whoop, hold on.
This isn't even full volume.
And that's with it closed.
Now let's go ahead and open it.
And I don't know if this microphone is going to pick it up, but as soon as he opens it up, it's got like almost an accordion-like interface where it opens up, and when it, you can actually shut it and it clicks closed, opens up, and the sound that comes out of it is just amazing. Sean, what is the price of this unit?
This sells on our website for $29.
$29. Yep. Under $30 for a little portable speaker like this.
Yep, absolutely. And as I said, it will work on any type of iPhone. You can even play it on your computer. We have a little adapter that we need to use if you want to play it with the iPhone and also with the touch. But the adapter sells on our website for, I believe it is $8. And that's also very handy for oversized headphones and things of that nature. But you know what? For a little vibe system like this, and if you want something where you're not using earbuds, this will knock your socks off, man. It rocks.
It does rock. And one other nice thing about it is, you know, obviously this is a Macintosh-based podcast.
That's right.
But if you don't have an iPod and you have a Zune or a Sansa or something like that, you're still good to go because it just uses the audio out jack. You don't have to have it connected up to the iPhone or the iPod little dock connector.
That's exactly right, guy.
Okay, yeah. Well, Sean, I appreciate your time.
Appreciate you, buddy.
And I'm here at the iFrogs booth. They'll be here for the next couple of days. Actually, I guess tomorrow's the last day for
Macworld. Tomorrow is the last day. We're going to be here till 3 o'clock. But, you know, roll on down if you get a chance and check it out. I'll be happy to show it to you. Glad you did.
This is John Nemo from the MyMac.com video and audio podcast. Right. We're doing a simulcast here. We're at Moscone Center. It's Thursday at Macworld Expo 2008, and we are meeting a young man. Your name is?
Max.
Max. Where do you live, Max?
I live in Oakland.
Okay, you're local.
Yep.
Do you own a Macintosh?
I do, several.
Several of them?
Yep.
Are you a professional? Are you a computer professional?
Yeah, well, trying to be a video professional.
Oh, so that's why you were asking about our sexy video camera.
That's right, and your
microphones.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
And what's your goal?
Goal right now, I'm doing video work in the corporate world, and the big plan is to get into documentary work and do some creative stuff.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
What particular focus, excuse the pun, what particular area of interest do you want to do your documentaries in?
Personal stories is really where I'm heading. I don't know yet. The goal is to really learn the craft this year. That's kind of my vision for 2008, and then I'm not sure exactly where it's heading. So I don't have a story I'm trying to tell yet. But
how many days are you here at the expo?
Just the one. That's all I can take. Got to get in and get out.
And what have you seen that's given you the biggest buzz?
Let's see, the coolest thing. I've been underwhelmed thus far. Actually.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
nothing's coming to mind. You know.
So you're ready to be blown over?
Yeah, I need to look around a little more before I can
come
up with something good.
Well, we're from MyMac.com, and we wish you all the best.
All right.
When you get yourself situated, give us a call or an email. We'll put you back on the show.
All right, it's a deal.
Thank you, Max.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Hi, Guy Searle with the MyMac.com podcast. I'm here with Eberhard from Pleasant Software, makers of Ubercaster. How are you doing today?
Great, thanks.
Now, you've got a new version of Ubercaster out. What did you add to it to make this already great product even better?
Ubercaster 1.5 is a really huge update. Two of the main features are we added a special panel called the Autopilot, which assists you during your show. You can enter your topics you like to talk about and notes, and can read these notes during recording your show. And Autopilot also automatically insert chapter marks for you when starting a new topic and playing music for you. You'll configure to do so, and you can play jingles automatically when starting a new topic, all that stuff. The other great new thing is we are now supporting offline effects. So you're able to add an RMS normalizer to your show to enhance the sound of your show and leveling out all these...
All the different channels.
Yes. So these are the huge and big things. There are a bunch of other stuff. It's two pages of features and improvements there. Yeah.
What are some of the future plans for the software?
We'll definitely will add videos sometime in the future. I cannot say when, but it will come. So we're doing some video with it. We localize it.
Right.
So that's maybe not so interesting for the U.S. customers, but yeah, we'll localize Show Max Red.
You're going to add some different language support.
Yeah.
Great.
So German, French is definitely there.
Well, you guys are from Germany.
Yeah.
And it's all still in English?
It's all still in English, yeah, because it's much more work to keep all in sync when you're different languages. It's sometimes it's twice the work.
Right.
To, when you're improving some dialogue or something, yeah. Because it's not only the words mm-hmm. you have to translate, it's also the layout you have to, yeah, German is probably longer. so you have to refine all interface elements, so it's much more work, and I decided to do only the English version first.
To start off with,
and
right.
Now it's a little bit fixed in the interface, so now it's okay to localize it.
Okay, now a lot of podcasters are still using GarageBand. What is it about Ubercaster that is that makes it a much better solution than GarageBand?
Now, one thing, GarageBand was and still is a program made for musicians, and they added the podcasting stuff, but you can feel they added it later. So it's kind of a add-on, but it's not really made for podcasting. Ubercaster was built from the ground up for podcasters. There were podcasts involved in the process of developing it, and I think you can feel it. There are many, many podcasting specific features, like the use of templates, so you can create a new show based on your old one or previous one, so you don't have to do all setup over and over again. All your release settings, the ID3 tags are there.
Right.
All your prepare settings, the intro at the beginning, the music is all set up. So it's a huge, huge time saver. Also, it's very easy to do an enhanced version of your podcast, a AAC version with chapters in it, and another version with MP3 with one mouse click. So you can set it up that way, and Ubercaster will take care to release one MP3 version to that server, another AAC version to that server. It uploads not only to .mac but also FTP, SFTP, WebDAV, name it. It supports dedicated podcasting providers like Podshow. So Ubercaster creates a post in their system, so you don't have to do any other additional stuff to release your podcast when you're doing a new show. It's all that little stuff make the life easier for podcasters.
Well, I know there's one thing that I really, really like about the program as compared to GarageBand is its support for iChat and Skype,
yeah.
which GarageBand does not do very well.
Yeah, it's built into the program, and it not only records the partner on the other side of your Skype connection, but also sends back all sounds you create in Ubercaster. So when you play a jingle in Ubercaster, your partner
well.
Will hear it and can react to it or know when it's time to speak. So that's a really great and easy solution. And Ubercaster also exports your show in MP3 directly, so GarageBand do only the AAC thing.
Right.
So you don't have to go to iTunes or something to re-encode it. It's an all-in-one solution.
Well, it's a great solution, and I appreciate you taking the time today to join me,
Eberhard.
Eberhard, there
it's,
we go.
It's difficult, yeah.
Eberhard from Pleasant Software. Now, where can they find Ubercaster?
You go to www.ubercaster.com or to www.pleasantsoftware.com. You will find all our stuff there.
And there's a trial version.
There's a trial version.
Well,
you can try Ubercaster for 30 days. There's a limitation for 5 minutes
mm-hmm.
per export.
Right.
But you can record hours and hours. And you can during the first 30 days, you can unlock Ubercaster 5 times to do a full show in full length with no limitations.
That's great. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, welcome.
MyMac.com audio podcast and video podcast at the Mac World Expo 2008 on Thursday afternoon. We've run into a good buddy of ours who we've never met in person.
That's right.
This is Stephen Crane, and he works very closely with H Field Technology. They are the designer, inventor, and creator and seller of the Wi-Fire that Tom Schmidt and I have been writing about in MyMac.com. Just tell us briefly what we see in the future for the Wi-Fire, Stephen Crane.
Well, for the Mac, we are going to have new drivers to smooth out some of the implementation problems we've been having. We have a new quick start guide, new packaging, and it's unified hardware now, so if you're a mixed marriage household, you can use Windows and Mac on the same hardware. All you do is switch the software. You know, you install the software once on each of the computer, plug it in from computer to computer, and it'll work just great.
And how long is the software cycle going to be? Are people going to need to do downloads like every couple of months, or is it going to be fairly steady?
No, it's pretty steady. Now that Leopard's come out, it's going to be just pretty much, it's going to be plug and play, and it's just going to work.
Do most people install from the CD, or do most people install from the download?
Well, originally they installed from the CD because it was included with the box, but now it's just as easy to download it from the website.
And that's it?
Yeah.
Very good. Well, we wish you and Curtis and your small but talented family at H-Field all the best.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll be watching you because our connection is so long that we can keep our eye on you no matter where you are.
Actually, there's some other things about this. As long as you have line of sight, they've tested it up to 5,000 feet.
5,000 feet?
Yep.
That's a mile.
Just about.
Well, I live in Tucson. If anybody can get line of sight.
Oh, yeah.
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 Because I get 300-400 feet.
That's like in tests under good conditions.
Yeah.
Line of sight, pretty much.
Wowee.
If you have a good signal.
Thank you, Stephen Crane.
Thank you
for working so closely, supporting MyMac.com.
Oh, my pleasure.
And bringing the Wi-Fi to the Mac community.
Thanks.
All right, we're here with Sinbad, the comedian. Sinbad, you're always at Macworld.
Always, Mac.
I thought you was a PC guy.
No, I don't think, you know what? Macs have always been, my first computer, I was at in Pomona, California, there was a computer fair. These others, like, you know, go to the community center,
yep.
And I didn't know what to get. And they started about RAM, ROM, BIOS, Phoenix boards. I rounded my tail between my legs. I said, I'm going to get a computer. I can be just as smart as anybody else. So I did some studying, so I knew what kind of boards to get to put a PC together. But there was a guy sitting there with an Apple. I said, what's that, man? He goes, Apple's 128K. It's all built in the box. I bought it.
You didn't have to do anything else. That was
my first computer, man. Yeah. And I fattened it up to 512E. So, you know, I had it hanging out. Got a 10 megabyte hard drive, which I never fill up. Too much information.
Too much. And who's going to fill
that
much
up? Can't fill that up, man. No. I know. You can't get it, man. That was it.
So you've been here all week.
Yeah.
What do you think you've been impressed with the most about?
You know, of course, we start with Apple. The MacBook Air. I mean, you can't deny it. It's just, I mean, I was looking for a computer for my secretary.
Yeah.
That's going to be it. It's easy for the carry. Throw it in the bag. Even for us, it's a good second. I would carry that to a show like this.
It's not a.
It would be
computer.
I wouldn't edit with it. It would be my main thing. But if I just need to take a computer on the plane with me, I'm tired of my bag weighing 20 pounds. That's where it comes in handy. Now, where that becomes even cooler now, I saw some things here. There's a company that Retrospect has some great new software. So say I got that.
Entire interface.
You can have 8 computers backing up at the same time, and that server they got with EMC.
Yep.
Jesus, man. They got it just in time for the. Download movies.
It's about time that Retrospect actually changed the graphical user interface.
Yes, they did.
I'm an expert with that. Most people look at it and go, I can't use
they
that.
They made it simple.
It's about time. Isn't it about time?
And they made the deal with Intel and AMC. So you have your own little server. That server is incredible. So now in your house, your garage and your closet used to be your storage. But now our storage is like computers. So what happens is we got these little hard drives everywhere.
Yep.
And when you lose digital stuff, it's not like losing
forever.
A shirt. It's done.
Yep.
So now with Retrospect, I can have 8 different items backing up to the same place. And that server that they had, dude, now somebody comes to my house, man, hey, you got this movie, you got these pictures? Man, just take your little thumb drive, pull up off of there. You got one place where everything's at. So the server in the house is going to be your new closet.
You take the new Apple, what is it called, Bill? Bill Palmer from iPhone. What is the Apple's new wireless?
Apple TV?
Apple TV.
I think he pushed the industry. Well, Apple does sometimes. Even if they don't win it, they make the industry react.
Yeah,
I think they made the world react. They made entertainment. iTunes showed you that we could download music.
Are you interested in renting videos?
Yes.
Yeah?
No, it really works. My mother can't go to movies with us as much anymore because she's 6. My mother, we can't get the new stuff. And, you know, go get a DVD. Now, I can just rent the stuff. I can own the stuff. I can bring it down to the house.
Do you think 24 hours is enough time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it needs to be 27 hours.
You know what? But we'll complain and they'll give us more. See, that's the thing about Apple. We'll complain. they give us more battery life. We'll complain. They'll give us more stuff.
Absolutely.
Everything's beta right now. Everything's experimental. They really don't know what people... They said, he said, well, people only want to watch 24 hours. That's not true. I keep Netflix for like 4 weeks. I still got stuff in my bag. I got Netflix movies I haven't sent back yet. I've had them for 5 weeks, man.
So what's the most exciting technology outside Apple?
The servers.
The servers.
I like CalDigit, the HD20 server. Mm-hmm. I like SideCloud server. I saw some other things. I saw this company called Promise Technology. I don't know what they're going to do, but they were streaming 21 different streams of high-def quality video.
720p?
No, 1080.
1080?
1080.
I gotta go check that out.
Yeah, they're over. They're in the west wing, mm-hmm. on the far wall. They're just trying to figure it out. First time they came up with software for Apple.
Hmm. You think there's a lot more PC vendors coming into the Apple world now?
I mean, you
look at the sales with Dell. You look at the sales with the HP. They're going down. Everyone's going down. Then you look at Apple and they're going up.
Ever since they put Boot Camp, and I like VM. I'm a Fusion man. VM Fusionware.
That's what I use.
That's the most incredible thing out here, brother.
The only thing I don't like is when I quit the screen face full size with that great big old play button.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
But you can move it around. We can have it.
Much better than parallel?
Yes.
What?
Works better than parallel.
Why do you like it?
It's a little
better.
Faster than parallel. And it's a little easier to get into than parallel. And I had them both on my computer, and I would play with both of them. I'd pull them up. And in parallel, sometimes you forget your little codes and stuff.
Yeah.
And you forget what moves to make to get it out the way, and I have to dump it and start all over again.
You know what I'm impressed with? I did an interview with EA yesterday. They're really coming out with Mac games like crazy.
Yes.
They keep sending them to me for review, and I told them to stop. I can't play that many games at once. But here's the thing. We can run Windows natively fast. Why do we need Mac games, but yet EA's making the Mac version?
Because they're 2 years behind. Remember, Mac people were screaming for games when we didn't have Boot Camp.
Yep.
We were screaming for games when we didn't have Boot Camp. So we got Boot Camp now. They're making games. We're like, dude, I'll play your game on my Mac.
Yeah, but you want to play it on the Mac.
We like to have the Mac version, but we're not crying if we don't have it anymore. We still like the
Mac
game.
That's what the 360, that's what the PS3, that's what the Wii for. Well, maybe not the Wii.
But my son's building a gaming lounge, and they're going to run 20 Macs running all PC games.
Because really?
They've tested most of the games. They run faster on the Mac than they do on the PC.
I saw you talking on the phone the other day when we walked past you, and it was not an iPhone.
Oh, no, I got both.
Oh, you got both.
I've got an iPhone on the left here, and I got the Trio on the right, because AT&T sucks. And I wish Verizon had been smart enough to understand when Apple brought the deal to them, and they didn't. They were like, you're not going to help. Apple's not going to tell us how to manufacture, how to do our service. I'm like, dude, you should just listen. You should listen to your children. You should ask your kids, should we let Apple give us an iPhone? And because then it would have been through the 3G stuff and Verizon. I just like, oh, my God, if the iPhone had been on Verizon, there had been no reason not to. The only thing that holds us back, we say, AT&T. We don't say the phone, we go AT&T. I hate their network. They got that slowest wireless network. But I keep my iPhone so when I'm in a Wi-Fi area, or even if I just need to use a big browser and I got to use AT&T, I'm covered, man.
Okay.
I just wish we could beam pictures. We got to get to the point where we can beam pictures back and forth and do those kind of things.
Yeah, the technology's there. They're not going that route yet.
Yeah, they will.
They will.
The next one we have to buy, because Apple's the world dump. We have a wasteland of material.
Yeah.
Apple people dump a machine, they'll get another machine.
Yep.
There are people going to buy that MacBook Air that do not need, just like me.
But we don't get rid of our
but
machine.
We can't let, no, we never get rid of it. They network. I'm networked. That's just enough.
Right.
Oh, you give it to a family member.
Yep.
You hand it down the line. That's why you see Macs go down the line. You don't get rid of it.
No.
You don't put it in the graveyard.
No.
No.
You go to garage sales,
I have a 2FX, man. I got 2FX. I got to get some stuff off.
Are you worried about continuously moving your photos and everything forward, so eventually 10 years down the road you still have access to the stuff you took 15 years before?
But think about it, we didn't have it to this day. It's in bags. Think about the photos we took. Most of the stuff we're trying to put in a scrapbook, but they're in boxes. But now I'm a scan freak. I tell people, don't try to scan everything once, because every once in a while I just pull a box out. That's how you eventually do it. And I use all digital cameras now, all the stuff I got now. But now what I'm trying to do is get families to realize my son has some good photos, my daughter has some good photos. Look, man, we need to be sharing these photos in a way that makes sense. That's why I like that server.
Yeah.
Because now everybody can send it to one spot, and I got all the pictures. I don't have to ask for your picture. Just automatically, as soon as you get a new role, would you guys please send it up here, and we'll just pull it. And that way, everybody's sharing all the photos.
Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, which one's the Mac, which one's the PC?
Barack would be a Mac man, you know that.
I think so.
Barack would be a Mac man because a young cat would bring it to him.
Yeah.
He would say that's great.
Yeah.
I think Hillary would use both.
You think so?
Keep everybody happy. Yeah. He'd use Boot Camp and have a Mac.
Mitt Romney.
don't think he has a computer.
Amiga.
I don't think he has a computer.
I think he'd be Amiga.
I think he's like, I don't even know what to do with this thing.
Or he had about 12 of them.
Yeah, he had Atari, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Sinbad, thanks a lot. You got any more questions?
Is there anything you got cooking that the world needs to know?
Yeah. Right now, you know what? My thing, I've been, as far as the movie and TV side, I've been kind of dead for the last 8 years. Hollywood's a strange place.
For me personally, I want more stand-up comedy for me.
I'm on the road every weekend. Dude, I've never, since 85, I've never been off the road. I'm going to Reno tomorrow. I'm going to Atlanta the day after that. But trying to put another HBO special together. But yeah. Also, things I started writing in 93, I just never did them. And my son was in film school. My daughter's singing. She does movies. So I realized if I don't write for my daughter, a black woman doesn't act.
Have you ever thought of maybe producing stuff yourself, releasing it for pay your website?
Well, we're getting ready to do. We still do need. That's the whole thing. We still do need them. The thing hasn't changed. Where here's web TV and then here's regular TV.
Right.
They coincide together. But what you can do is you can create a buzz. Mm-hmm. You can create. That's what Blair Witch did. They created this buzz for a movie that was fake, but they had a soul hooked. They were the first one to effectively use a website to get me to watch a movie I would not pay attention to. That was shot bad. But I had to go see it. I went to Chicago. I couldn't, for seven movies, I couldn't get to it. They were sold out. That's why I think you need the web right now to really push the stuff you're trying to do. I think they both go hand in hand. You need web. So that way, if you say, hey, Sinbad, we don't believe in that project, well, let me make that my web project. That's what guys are doing with music now. Like, hey, man, your record label says, I don't want that on the album. Well, let me make this some stuff I give away. Let me put this at my website. Let me make this some other music.
So what are you doing on the web to get the buzz generated about?
Right now, we're actually put a new site up. I just put a site up. It's going to be called thesinbad.com. So the guy that owns sinbad.com is trying to stick me up for money, so I'm going to let him keep it.
So, why not? Yeah, make your own.
Because I took my site down.
The name don't mean anything.
I know. I took my site down years ago because I think sometimes when you have nothing to say, you should shut up. Mm-hmm. I think between podcasts and blogs and everybody talks
too much.
And I had to learn about people online. Yeah. They're greedy and they cry. Yeah. I need new pictures. You don't have any new pictures up. You haven't talked to me because if you first mess up there, you try to answer everybody's emails and I try to blog every day. Then you're on blog for a day. He's not talking to us. So no, this next time I'm saying, look, I might not come back for a day. Shut up. I'm not answering all your email. You almost got to set people. You got to put people in check on your website early. And what I want to do, though, is not just a website. I want to have my website. You want to know when I'm performing. That's cool. But I want to have, like, if I'm talking about jazz and somebody says, hey, man, I like this jazz artist, that becomes a whole other section. Sinbad's jazz section. You don't have to go to me no more. You go to my jazz section. We talk about technology. I'm saying, now this is a technology section. So it becomes a world. A community, yeah, just Sinbad's
not
world.
Friendster,
yeah.
Sinbad's
Sinbad's sure, but it's not driven by me. Matter of fact, if you go to Jazz Spot, you might even know it was Sinbad's joint.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be, whether you knew it was my spot or not, doesn't make any difference.
I think you should do a podcast myself.
Well, we're going to do a podcast. I'm putting it, I was sitting here getting some more ideas for podcasting, and I said, look, I'm going to put a podcast up. I'm going to podcast in coexistence with things I want to do. Like it's another TV show I'm trying to put together, reality show. So I'm going to podcast some of that.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot for mymac.com. We appreciate it. Be on our podcast.
Cool, man.
And it'll be an iPhone magazine.
Cool, man.
Two for one.
Long-term listeners of the podcast know that I love listening to my iPod in the car. And for a number of years now, I've been using the Harman Kardon Drive Plus Play. There wasn't a 2. It was just the Harman Kardon Drive Plus Play. I was really excited about 2 weeks ago. Harman Kardon sent the Drive Plus Play 2, the brand new version, and I've been in love ever since. It's a 3-piece system now instead of a clunky box and not as many wires. And I'm here with Chris with Harman Kardon. And Chris, the Drive Plus Play 2, I love it. I plug it into the cigarette lighter. The control wheel is wireless. I've got 2 wires coming off, one to the display, which is in beautiful color, and one to my iPhone or iPod. And it just works and it sounds great.
That's what it's all about. I mean, Drive and Play 1, in reality, was a bit of a learning curve for us.
Sure.
You know, you get enough units out in the field, you get a lot of feedback.
It worked, though. I mean, I used it
great
up
until
the day you guys sent me the version 2. I loved it.
The big thing consumers were after was really ease of installation. How fast can I get this thing up and running in my car? So that's why we abandoned the little black box.
Yep.
We went with basically a media hub attached to the cigarette lighter adapter. So really in 5 minutes' time, you can have this thing up and running in any vehicle.
And, okay, I'm a little more technically adapted to the average consumer probably, but it took me less than 5 minutes to get this thing completely connected.
Right.
So anybody can do this. It's super simple. And you're going to get a superior sound quality if you go directly into your deck rather than FM transmitter. But this will also work on an FM transmitter, correct?
Yep. There's a built-in wireless FM transmitter. We even include a wired FM transmitter if you're looking for a little better performance than the wireless.
So if nobody has any idea what this product looks like, do they even really need this? They've got this little cheap FM transmitter. Could you kind of explain to the listeners why this is such a better solution? Because personally, I think the iPod is absolutely the worst control of an audio player for driving. You can't do it intuitively. You can't look. You have to look at the screen, you know. But with the Harman Kardon, with the screen on your dash and the little control knobby down, you know, wherever you put it on your car, it just seems a lot more intuitive.
It's absolutely intuitive. I mean, there is so much clutter in cars these days. In fact, we have kind of coined a phrase at Harman. We call it dashboard chaos. You look inside some of these cars, you see a cell phone, you see a satellite radio box, you see an iPod, you see a radar detector. And, you know, the driver needs to be driving. And that was kind of our mission when we launched the first Drive and Play, was really to reduce driver distraction. And Drive and Play, too, makes it so much easier. You have a beautiful full-color screen that can actually be skinned to match your vehicle lighting.
It'll actually show the artwork from the song you're looking for.
It does, shows album art.
I didn't realize it did that, and I'm sitting there driving. I look over, and there's the artwork, and I went, oh, wow, I didn't know it did that.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yep.
Now, but you know the problem with that, honestly? I can't play the music trivia questions with my wife. Okay, who's this? You know, because she can look over and see the artwork much easier than she could with the first one.
Well, I'll clue in. There is one little feature on this product.
I turn off the
display. It's a backlight timer.
But then I don't know what the song is, too.
Well, but you better.
I pretend that I do. I've already looked, and I go, I bet you don't know who this is.
Well, look real quick, and then wait for it to go off, and then ask her the question.
10 seconds. I got to set it for 10
That's
seconds.
That's right. Exactly.
You also have another product that's kind of similar with a display, with a control knob, but it's GPS.
That's
you
correct.
Talk about that a little bit?
Portable navigation, sure, a word that your listeners have heard a few,
this
few times.
This seemed to be the year that a lot of people were picking up GPS systems, and not everybody has yet, obviously. There's still a huge
market. It's a huge market. Yeah. Actually, sales year-to-date in the United States are up about 160% versus last year. So
now,
the growth is unbelievable.
I'm not the best when it comes to GPS. I've got a little cheap Garmin that I keep in the car when I need to go somewhere that I've never been. But for the most part, I don't go anywhere that I don't know where I'm going. So GPS in my life doesn't help. But I know so many people who need them, and they're always asking me, which one should I get? They think, because I'm the computer guy that they know, I know GPS, and I don't. But after seeing the Guide Plus Play, use the same kind of control knob as the Drive Plus Play 2 for the, I'm getting my...
Drive and Play 2?
Yeah, Drive and Play,
it.
Yeah.
You got it.
I got that. Okay, good. But it's also a touch screen.
Yes. Well, of course, you know, a portable nav is portable.
It looks portable. But you can also take it out of the car and walk around with you.
That's right.
That's awesome. How long does a battery last on something like that?
The GPS 810, the Guide and Play GPS 810, has Bluetooth in it. So I'll be really honest with you. If you're somebody that yaks on the phone a lot, the battery life isn't going to be quite as good as it is if you're just navigating. But if you're just navigating, you better get about 5 hours out of the battery.
Wow, really? And it will charge it in its cradle as well, though.
So. Yes. And if you're doing a lot of phone calling, the battery life will drop considerably down to 2.5-3 hours.
You could put music on the Guide Plus Play. You could put photos on there.
Video.
Video. Why
download
do you need
stuff from DRM10.
DRM10. Why would you need all that stuff on a GPS?
Well, because it's really not a GPS. It's really a single box multimedia suite. It's really the whole object of our line of portable navigation devices is to turn them into simplify the consumer's life. How many things do you want to carry in your briefcase or purse?
Well, Chris was showing us the mapping system on it and the speech recognition as you're listening to it turn by turn, and it was really fantastic. It blew my Garmin away. I kind of want one now, but, you know, I've got a newborn, and my wife won't let me buy any more toys anytime soon.
Well, but you have a friend at the factory, so, you know,
yeah,
the good news is I might be able to help you out a little bit on the price.
The GPS is, I think that's only going to get bigger. I'm really hoping, is there any word on integrating an iPod into a future version, or is that something
the
you guys
GPS 810, which is the unit that we've been speaking about, that's shipping now, there will be an optional iPod Media Hub kit, not eventually being just in a couple months.
Oh, wow, because that would, I've got the Drive Plus Play on my dash, and right next to it I put, when I need it, the Garmin unit, so it's starting to get a little cluttered.
Well, I'd be moving that Drive and Play too to the other. If you got another car in the house, move that over, put it in her car.
Well, actually, she wants to start using the Drive Plus Play 1, so I'm going to have to completely retry the Drive Plus Play 1.
Do you have any kids? You could put, you know,
not that old.
Okay, well, you know,
pretty soon though.
It works on a trike.
Well, Chris, Harman Kardon's making some great products. I'm really looking forward to looking at your booth a whole lot out there. You got some great speakers. You guys have a concert going on here tonight.
Yes, we do. A couple of really good friends of Harmon, Tommy Shaw from Styx and Damn Yankees, and Jack Blades from Night Ranger and Damn Yankees. We're kicking off a new line of wireless headphones, and we thought, what better way to do that than to do a concert with headphones? Of course, when I called Jack up and said, hey, Jack, we want to do a concert.
He said a million
There's
going to
be no PA. And he goes, well, okay. And I said, your audience is going to be wearing headphones. And he went, okay, I'm in.
That's cool. What's the headphones that you guys are?
It's the AKG line of headphones. It's a Harman company.
Awesome.
Anybody that knows AKG might know them from the professional side of the business. There's pretty much not a CD or an album that's ever been produced that hasn't used some AKG product.
Is this going to be a consumer product then?
Yes, we have a whole line, 12 models. 12 models that will be shipping starting March.
March. I have to take a look at those too. Of course, you've got a lot of the iPod docks. You've got the computer speakers. You're still selling the clear octopus
Harman Kardon sound, Harman Kardon sound sticks.
The sound sticks. I can't believe those are still for sale.
Well, I got to tell you,
we
try to deliver an updated version of the sound sticks every so often, and all the retailers look at us in awe and shock and fright and say, don't discontinue them.
Really? They still?
And yeah. So we keep building them. We've actually broken three sets of production tools building that product because we've delivered over 2 million pair.
Even after all this time, you guys, what, 1990? They're 99?
7 years old.
So 2001. Yeah. I remember when they first came out, I thought those were just really cool looking. Even after all these years and I look at them, they're still really cool looking.
Yeah, they are. So it's timeless industrial design.
Yeah, and you can't
means they look
something.
Cool.
Yeah. He wants something new, though. He wants some new design, don't you?
Yeah, well, we've actually got something brewing. We got a product that's going to slate in above the sound sticks that we'll be showing later this year.
Harman Kardon, JBL, you guys are continuously innovating and doing really cool stuff. Thanks for supporting the Mac platform, the iPod. Anybody out there knows you're going to get the best stuff with JBL speakers. Check out the Harman Kardon Drive Plus Play. It's a big recommendation for me. I love it. Drive Plus Play 2, I should say.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks. Be good, Tim.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to mymacpodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the mymac.com podcast.